Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor gives you everything you need. It's one place. And by the way, it's for free. You can use your phone, your tablet, your laptop, whatever. Creation tools allow you to record and edit your podcast so it sounds great. They'll distribute your podcast for you. You can be heard everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Apple, Google Podcasts, and so much more. You can easily make money from your podcast with no minimum subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Get started right now. Download it. You know you want to. Let's go. Hello, everybody. Houston, Joshua. We're in Bus Talk in the D. How you doing?
Alright, how you doing?
I'm good, man. We got a lot to talk about. First of all, let's get into it. Where do we begin? Hard to kill, I guess.
Hard to Kill was probably one of the better pay-per-views that I've seen in the last, couple of weeks.
Man, it was cool. And somewhere in there was an invasion, if you will, from Ring of Honor. Last time I checked in my records, Ring of Honor, they're supposed to be shut down.
Yeah, I think what they're doing is, since they didn't officially say they were shutting down, that they were just, you know, like going through a change phase or whatever. I think what they're doing is in order to keep Ring of Honor, you know, like fresh, they're doing this invasion, which I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it reminds me of back in the day. Oh Lord, look at me back in the day. Where am I? I'm old. Back in the day, I believe the year was 2001. It was the day that Jim Ross's correct. You say that day will live in infamy. The time that ECW got with WCW. And invaded then the WWF. And those of you who don't remember, first remember it. So it started with Chris Jericho and Kane. It was supposed to be a tag match. It was supposed to be Undertaker and somebody from the Alliance. WCW sat. Sarah got hurt. Undertaker took her to the hospital. Kane said, I want that match. Okay. So it's Undertaker. And it's Kane and Jericho. I don't know. I'm getting this mixed up. I remember half of it. I want to say, I know Kane was involved. I know it was a tag match. Somebody versus some WCW kind of match. Anyway, they're wrestling. All of a sudden, some WCW guys come over and jump Kane. Because Jericho, what's going on here? What y'all doing up in here? And so the five of these guys come out. Taz is one of them. You probably remember more than I do. I remember a little bit. You take it from here, but I don't remember much.
Oh yeah. So yeah, what happened was the beginning of the invasion started literally at WrestleMania when Shane McMahon fought Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And they introduced all the, well, they didn't really introduce, but they showed all the WCW people just sitting in a VIP section. And then it started going with, first it went with Lance Storm coming in and super kicking one of the WWE guys, and then he runs out the arena. Then it went, Hugh Morris came in and did his moonsault off the top rope. He ran away. But, what you were talking about was, it was Kane and Chris Jericho.
There you go.
They were facing two of the WCW guys, and then the rest of the WCW guys came in, and they were started to jump Kane and Jericho, and then all the wrestlers that were on ECW's roster, the rest of the ECW guys that was on WWE's roster came in and was acting like they were going to side with Kane and Jericho, but then they all turned around and they attacked Kane and Jericho.
Alright, I got it from here now. So, that
guys, then WCW guys, the guys that turned WCW, right? So then, they all that night, Vince said, "Hey, look, we got beef and all that. Shane and Vince now. We got beef. But this is still McMahon house. Okay, it's Madison Garden. Whether it's WCW or WWE, it's still McMahon house. We got to do something. Whether you like it or not, it's still McMahon territory. Okay, you get 10 of your guys. I get 10 of my guys. Let's do something." Well, that worked out for like a second. So backstage, they couldn't get along at all. Okay, WWE guys can get along with WCW guys. And the yo guy, but they don't listen to my guys. No, my yo guy be listening to my guys. And they go to the ring, and they beat the holy high hell out of each other. Okay, after that, ECW comes down. The ECW roster, that flip from WWE to ECW, and now they about to get respect ECW and WCW get it on. And you know what you think about ECW, they got beef with WCW for years. And man, I'm going to say this right quick. Paul Heyman, when he ran ECW, never had beef with WWE. His beef was WCW, but you in the way. So you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It's like his beef was never with Vince McMahon, it was with Eric Bischoff. But since Vince is in the way, it is what it is. If I got problem with somebody, and you in the way, You get knocked out because you went away. Anyway, so the new thing they about to go at it. ECW, WCW, we about to tear each other up. And guess what? They shaking hands. They high fiving. What the hell is this? And it comes Mr. Man. What the hell is going on around here? Wait a minute. Hold up. And they do all the maneuvers they got to do. RVD's 5-star frog splash, the Dudley Death Drop 3D. Tommy Dreamer put his thing in the original. Thank you, John Cena, with the original Valley Death Driver. You young people know as the Attitude Adjustment. That's the original the Death Valley Driver by Tommy Dreamer. And Shane said, "Look here, we merged. We decided to come together and merge. We're now the Alliance." They won't be the Alliance till months later. We're now ECW and WCW. By the way, it's the owner of ECW. And Stephanie McMahon's music plays. Oh my God. It's Stephanie. She owns ECW. What's going on right here? And Jim Ross' famous line, "May God have mercy. The sins of the Father are costing us all. May God have mercy on our then WWF souls." And that day will forever live in infamy. July 9th, 2001.
Yep. Yeah, that was the day that, as they would say, the landscape changed. Because, I mean, if you really look at it, I mean, you had three major companies all under one banner doing this storyline, and it actually was making for decent storytelling, decent reveals and stuff like that. But you also got to look at all the wrestlers that came from WCW. The only legitimate ones that came from WCW at that time were Booker T and Diamond Dallas Page.
Mm-hmm.
All the other ones were just pretty much mid-carders or people who were always in the background. Now, you can argue that Vince McMahon chose not to buy out the rest of the contracts because Ted Turner was still paying the NWO, Sting, and all the bigger name people.
Oh, yeah.
But with what they had, with the talent they had, the way they were doing it, the Invasion storyline could have been just a tad bit better had they got a couple more bigger name stars and stuff like that, like the NWO, who came later, and Sting, who also came later, Goldberg, who also came later. I mean, it was... what it was, but I mean, it did make for good entertainment because you never knew who was going to jump from the WWE to the Alliance or from the Alliance to the WWE.
No, yes, because it's the thing. It was great, but it was short lived. It was like July to November. That's about what. How long is that? July to November.
Like 5 months.
Yeah, five. That was 5 months. As short lived, could have been way better. And my favorite synopsis of all time, Survivor Series 2001. We'll put everything on the line. Everything on the table. The losing company goes out of business forever and ever. Amen. So, and of course, that would be ECW, WCW. This is the thing. ECW came back for a cup of coffee. A cup of coffee is a short time. They came back for a little while. WCW never came back. Ever. Ever, ever.
But you also got to look at it like this. Even though WCW didn't come back, WCW pay-per-views under the banner of WWE have made for great entertainment. Great American Bash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Halloween Havoc and stuff like that. I mean, all that WWE kept, that was smart because you had already created pay-per-views that now you can base even more talent around, which that was a smart decision to do.
Yes, sir. And then, back in WCW, certain folks got guaranteed contracts. Guaranteed contracts, no matter what, you're going to get paid. Companies being shut down, you're still getting paid. Like, there, it's 2001, 2002, and they're still getting paid. They're at home. You get Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan, Scott Hall, Goldberg, Sting, Flair. They're still getting paid from WCW, and they're dead. So,
oh, yeah.
Guaranteed contract. The money was good. I remember, one particular night, they brought the NWO. Like that. I like the storyline. See, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm sorry. I need to get rid of Ric Flair. I'm sick of this. I need to counteract that. What I'm gonna do? I have to do something. I have to kill my own creation. I gotta bring the poison.
Yeah.
I got to do something. I don't want to do it. It got to be done. So I'm going to go ahead and bring my poison. That's my ring along, y'all. Excuse me. I got to bring poison into my own creation. And I like how they set it up. NWO. No way out. NWO, no way out. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because to you, you thinking they setting up No Way Out, NWO No Way Out. But the really really going, the NWO is coming to No Way Out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, something else you gotta look at too, though, is like, so for the actual Invasion pay-per-view, which took place on January 22nd in 2001, their longest match was only 29 minutes long. 29 mm-hmm. minutes and 5 seconds. And that was the Alliance versus the WWF at that time. But, I mean, if you really look at it, like, back then, the match times just weren't what they are nowadays. Nowadays, people go 25 minutes on just a regular singles match.
Yeah.
And so they didn't really have a lot to go into it. But, I mean, they did have enough to go into it to make it work. So that was good.
Yes, sir, man. And you know, I brought all this up. I wanted to go further than I wanted to go with this. But since we brought all this up, say the Invasion from Ring of Honor, but we went further than that rabbit hole than we wanted to go. So I'm gonna say one more thing. We'll go back, bring us back to our modern time here. The Invasion itself from WCW, ECW, in my opinion, could have been better. Like I said earlier.
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%.
Now, let's get back to the current stuff because we went further down the rabbit hole than I thought we would. Let's get back to the current day. Mickie James will be in the women's Royal Rumble match. It's shocking to me because she's Impact Wrestling and NWA, and she's allowed to be in the WWE Royal Rumble match.
Oh yeah. Well, here's what happened. So WWE has released so much talent that they literally don't have enough to fill up the women's Royal Rumble, so they had to start reaching outside of their own territory. Now, when they originally released Mickie James, they did her wrong.
Oh, yes, they did.
You know, so when they reached out to Impact and they said, hey, we're interested in bringing Mickie James in for the Royal Rumble, maybe some more times, Impact went to Mickie James, and Mickie James said, and I quote, I am willing to work with them as long as they officially apologize for the way they treated me after they released me.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
By the way, those of you young folks out there, we're saying the word release because it's a soft way of saying you got fired.
Yeah.
So, and how they did that, all her belongings and stuff, they mail you, we let you go. Let's say you win championships in your career. They mail you your copy of the championships, of all the stuff you have in your career. And all her stuff was in a trash bag. Not UPS box. Not an Amazon box. Not USPS box. A decent, somewhere decent. Nah. All her championships, she ever won in her career, which only women's championship. All her stuff from WWE in a trash bag. Macarano.
Oh, yeah. 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 So WWE made an official apology to her, and that's how they were able to work with that forbidden door, which, in my opinion, I was definitely shocked.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not shocked that they are bringing back people who are no longer with the company for, like, one-offs or a couple here and there, but with Mickie James, I am 100% shocked.
Yeah. I don't think she'll be able to bring the title with her. But they'll probably make mention of it here and there.
I'm not really sure. Because the way they did it is Impact negotiated with WWE.
Uh-huh.
And Impact said you have to, on your television show, acknowledge that she is the Impact Women's Champion, which they did. And they also, there's some other stuff that was worked out in negotiations of the deal that haven't come to light yet, but the fact that WWE is legitimately, you know, like, pretty much promoting another company in their brand, I mean, that's good workmanship, and it also shows that they are willing to go that extra mile to make sure that they kind of present something for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, as a fan, that's ultimately what we want.
Definitely. I'm gonna go across the street, if you will, to AEW. This they get ready for one of their big. Every company has their big four pay per views. For WWE, it's the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. AEW, their big four. Double or Nothing, All Out, Full Gear, and Revolution. Revolution's coming up. I don't have the date for that, but it's coming up soon. The car, I have nothing really. But it's March 6th in Orlando, Florida. At the additional financial center, all the information to be announced. You get your tickets when it's available. AEW, according to you and the other people, they basically rocks.
Yeah. I mean, if you really look at it, all right, so what made WCW fall? They hired too many WWE guys, gave them too many big money contracts. All the younger talent and all the talent that was already established in WCW got pushed to the back. That's exactly what AEW is doing. And the fact of the matter is AEW does not, will not succeed.
Wow.
And doing exactly what WCW did. AEW, to me, I mean, first off, they're working in the red. They haven't even come out of the red yet. They've got so many people under contract, and they're offering all these big money deals. I mean, yeah, okay, if I'm not doing nothing and you want to offer me $500,000 contract to come and wrestle three times out the year, okay, I'll do it.
Wow. I remember WCW, they used to, like I said, the guaranteed contract. You can sit home and don't do shit and still get paid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's still, I mean, that's literally what AEW is doing. They're offering all these big money contracts, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, you're offering all these contracts, but, you're still working in the red, my friend, so you might want to start looking at what you can do to further your product.
I wish I would be on the wrestling company. I'm paying these guys a bunch of money, and you sit in the house, you ain't doing nothing, you'll come to work. I pay you all this money for nothing. I wish I would.
Oh, yeah.
Come over here, get this work, you're going to do something. I don't care if you do a promo. I don't care if you clean the building. You're going to do something.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. Rule of thumb when you're dealing with professional athletes or superstars or whatever you want to call them nowadays. Rule of thumb is you want to market who you can market. Don't buy up too many people, because at the end of the day, you run into the problem of how are you going to showcase all of this talent when you literally only have two or three TV shows and you have pay-per-views and that's it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, WCW and AEW, there's so many similarities between the two companies. It's like, if you really, really look at it, okay, WCW's backed by a billionaire. AEW's backed by a billionaire. Vince McMahon was not a billionaire when he went up against WCW.
Sure wasn't.
But he is a bona fide billionaire now. And if someone who wasn't even a billionaire was able to take out a billionaire's company, what's to stop them now?
Mm.
And that's AEW's problem is they're not looking at anybody else as a threat. They're just like, we're going to steal up everybody, and then we're just going to put you all on TV whenever we have time for you. Unless, of course, you're the Elite, Inner Circle, or any of the people who, you know, our vice presidents and EVPs and stuff like that. I mean, you got too many inmates running the asylum in AEW, and that's where their problem is failing.
See, back in WWE, we have room for everybody. We got our stuff going on. We got weekly show. We got house shows going on. We got different programs and everything on the network, whatever. So we got plenty of space for our talent, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like, we need somebody in Japan for a paper. I need 20 guys in Japan for a live show. No problem. Go to the locker room. I need 20 guys sign up for a trip to Japan. We'll pay for it. Boom. You need 10 guys in Russia. Boom. You need 30 guys in whatever, boom, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
AEW can't do that.
Nah. See, here's the problem with AEW. Even if they could do that, most places would not want that with AEW, because AEW, yeah, they have the money, and they do have some talent. I'm not going to say everyone over there is talentless, because they wouldn't be under contract if they weren't. But the talent they have is not on a par of a Roman Reigns or a Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to bring in that kind of star power. I mean, I think the people you have that have the highest star power over there right now are probably CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Jon Moxley, and MJF. Them are the only four that legitimately, in my opinion, can, well, okay, you got Adam Cole and all them too, but I mean, if you notice, almost everybody other than MJF I mentioned has come from WWE.
Right.
So, I mean, if your talent is who you were pushing, but the talent you were pushing are also talent that was with the rival federation months earlier, I mean, you're pretty much just doing what the other company was doing, and now it's like, I mean, even the morale in WWE is down. Like so many wrestlers behind the scenes are going on social media saying, when am I going to get my shot? When am I going to get my day in the spotlight and stuff like that? And, I mean, you take someone like Brian Cage. That dude is a monster. He's a beast. Put him, he could do aerial stuff. He could do power stuff. He's an all-around good wrestler. But yet, you put him on a back burner because you want to bring in all these other people. It's like, it doesn't make sense to me.
You know, I tell you this. A wrestling company is nothing without... First of all, you know about your fans, for one thing. So, if your fans... You got 30 people complaining about the same thing. You need to fix something.
Exactly.
It's, a few critics is one thing, but you your own people. Your own fam. Your fans. When they complain, we got a problem. A critic is one thing. When my fans complain about it, people are trying to... You're trying to take care of. We got a problem.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like I always say in my personal life. I know one person can be wrong. I'll go as far as to say two people can be wrong. But if I get 3, 4, 5, 6 or more people telling me the same story pretty much in the same exact way, there's got to be some kind of legitimacy behind that. So... In wrestling, it should be the same way. Like, WWE has a... WWE is not all, you know, like, all... Well, WWE is not everything also, because, I mean, Vince McMahon, he's definitely, I want to push the big guy. Okay, I get that. But not everybody on your roster is a big guy. So, I mean, every federation has their faults. Now... I just happen to think that AEW really has more faults than most, if not all, the other companies. That's just my own personal opinion, though.
Yes, indeed. You know, let's talk about the Rumble real quick. Rumble's shaping up, if you will, or not shaping up. We got a long way to go, but it's getting there, man. We got let's check out the folks here. 2022. See here. Those who have entered the Rumble. It'll be January 29th in Georgia. Oh, sorry, in St. Louis. At the Dome. I'm looking for the card right here. Alright. We got those entering the Rumble match. We got Angelo Dawkins. We got Montez Ford. Rey Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio. That's going to be interesting. Austin Theory. Sheamus, Damian Priest, AJ Styles, Big E, Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, Sami Zayn, Zane, Kofi Kingston, and whoever thought I'd see this, Johnny Knoxville. I'm going to get forward to what if does anything happen at the Rumble match. So what if, let's entertain this 1 second. We get down to Rey and Dominic Mysterio, father and son. For the first time in many years, father and son got to battle it out.
Oh, yeah.
We had a father and son thing since the McMahons.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward. I would love that to happen. That would be awesome. Father and son, like I taught you everything you know, but I teach you everything that I know kind of situation, you know. I know you're my son and all, but this is business. And you go on this top rope, both of those touches forward, you out of here. I'm going on WrestleMania. I'll bring you a beer later. We'll make up later.
Me personally, I would want Dominic to win, because what better way to show, hey, you know, you are my father, but I'm going to be able to fill your shoes when you decide to step away.
Yes, that'd be awesome. I've got the chance to meet Dominic Mysterio. He was on Facebook. They made him leave his page. But he's a great young kid. He got a lot of, he has a whole lot of learning to do. But he's got potential. The problem is he has to, you got two ways to do this. You come from a family of wrestlers. You can either follow tradition or be your own person. And I would like Dominic to be his own person. You know, you got to, you can have a taste, like a little taste of your parents and your wrestling. That's cool. But be your own person.
Oh yeah, 100% agree. See, like when it comes to wrestling, a lot of people are like, you know, second, third. A lot of the wrestlers that are wrestling today are second and third generation wrestlers, and you know, like some of them follow in their footsteps of their parents, other family members, and stuff like that. Some of them don't, and I agree. I would like to see Dominic go in his own direction, but he is still a little bit too green to be able to do that.
Yeah. By the way, Green is like, he's too young. He's kind of new in this business.
Yeah. You want to know who I'm actually surprised that they got coming back, though?
What you get?
Summer Rae.
Why?
I am so surprised with her. And it's, I mean, I expected Michelle McCool, Alita, Kelly, but Summer Rae, I'm like, unless they are prepping for her to make a full return, I don't see why she's being even in this Royal Rumble, to be honest.
One person they wasted pen and paper and ink on is what's that girl's name?
Eva Marie.
Yes. Yes, she's a waste of pen, paper, and ink. Okay, I said it. I give you a reason why she's a waste of pen and paper. The girl never did squat in the wrestling business. Never won a championship. Never had a decent match with somebody. The girl is worthless in the world of wrestling. She's a great, great young lady, but in wrestling wise, she is worthless. I said it. Eva Marie is a waste of pen, paper, and ink.
She was only good for one reason, and that's the appeal of having another good-looking woman on a screen. That's it. You know, like, her acting isn't really that good, because she's been in a couple movies, and I'm like, no.
Like, I mean, God, come on. If you're going to be a wrestler, learn how to act as well. Look, by now, we all know it. We don't want to admit it. We're grown now. We all know this. Wrestling has to go hand in hand.
Oh yeah.
We all know it now. We won't admit that, but it's true. Wrestling and acting go hand in hand. If you're gonna be a wrestler, then how to be a good actor. Some people, I do mean some people, are horrible great wrestlers, but they horrible actors in movies. What in the hell?
Oh yeah. See, the thing when it comes to like wrestling and acting is in order for you to be able to be an actor, you have to have the charisma to be able to act in wrestling. Someone like John Cena, someone like The Rock, someone like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, who've all been in movies and who have all been able to play that person on TV, but also play that person in a movie. And I'm sitting there thinking like, you know, it's about time that they realize people like Eva Marie, they should stick to modeling.
Yeah. I didn't know Steve Austin had different movies. I watched him with, it was a movie with a guy from Tyler Perry's, Meet the Browns. Not Meet the Browns, Why Did They Get Married? The dude from Top of the Hour Get Married. I didn't know he was Austin was acting like that, you know? He had movies out and everything. I'm like, oh, this is good. Okay, this is cool. Anybody else? Nah. Triple H did call the movies. Different folk. I'm like, okay, these guys are cool. But you got to learn how to be a good actor and get a wrestler. Man.
Oh, yeah. the problem is most of the time when people get hired into these big companies, they get hired solely on their looks, not their skill. And that's WWE's problem, is they want to hire, well, at one point they wanted to hire only the women who had that sex appeal. Now it's like, they need the female wrestler, so now it's like, hey, you know, they got old girl that's in NXT, that's with Diamond Mine, that girl can kick butt. And I'm sitting there thinking like, hey, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with when she gets up to the main roster, if she does.
Yeah, I remember back in the days of the Raw Petty matches. That's all they were good for. At the time, Vince told Finley, stop trying to train these girls to wrestle. Let them be eye candy. Finley said, no, these girls can wrestle. That's what we hired them for. Let them fight. We hired them to be wrestlers. They wanted a wrestling match. Just like the men, let them fight. Much love, Finley. I remember one of the most brutal women's matches at the time. It was Trish Stratus and Victoria.
Steel cage match or the hardcore match. Yeah.
I'm like, damn. It was just right on point with the men's match. Finley did a great job. These women, they want to be on the same level. They want to have matches. They want to look pretty and let me tell you something. They look fire in a bikini, but they also want to beat the hell out of somebody. Okay, let them fight. That's what we hired them for in the first place. Let them fight.
Most definitely.
We didn't just hire them to be good looking. First of all, people, this is what I understand. This is what I don't get. These dudes back in the day, I was part of it back in the day, the bra and panty era of Raw, you know, like, damn, she fine, like, as if you got a chance anyway. But the point is, to make the appearance of she's available if she went on the market. But we all know she got somebody in her life, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's not a female wrestler that's probably single. Because we all know they got somebody. Husband, boyfriend, booty call, whatever. Nobody, no female wrestler I know of is single. You seeing somebody. And the appearance of put you on television, the appearance of you have a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fantasy role that, you know, a certain type has to be able to fill, and that's what WWE does, is they get that certain type and they fill that role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but women like Nia Jax, Rhea Ripley, Chyna, and I mean, people, women like that, they broke the mold and the stereotype of stuff like that, because they were like, in their own way, they were good at what they did, but they were also good at what they could do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, Nia Jax, she too dangerous to be working with somebody. You got, first of all, you too big to be hurting somebody.
Yeah, she did hurt a lot of the women in the ring.
Oh, man, like, girl, you too big for that. So I'm like, bro, wrestling, the whole point of this, you have to trust, you trusting with somebody with your body, man. I'm trusting you, get me through this, and we go home and be with our families. I'm trusting you not to hurt me. So, do what you gotta do, but at the same time, don't do it too hard.
Oh, yeah.
In the world of wrestling, we call something a little extra, we call it a receipt. A receipt is a little extra oomph.
Oh, yeah. Now, there were some wrestlers who refused to work with her, because they was too dangerous.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can't really fault them, because, I mean, like you said, you're trusting this person, so why should you be getting hurt if you're actually trusting this person? So, I mean, I get it, though.
Oh, man. And, like, I remember, Bret Hart and Goldberg. Bret Hart said, hey, man, don't hurt me. Like, look, let's keep it easy. Goldberg did something to Bret Hart, and he had retired.
Yeah, he super kicked Bret Hart in the head, and when he did that, Bret Hart can no longer wrestle.
Yeah.
I mean, but freak accidents happen sometimes, too. I mean, it just, when you're in that profession, you have to know that something can happen at any given point. You could be going up to the top rope, slip, break your ankle, break your nose, break your neck. I mean, you just don't know.
Definitely. I remember, there was a time Rey Mysterio, back 2015, I think. Rey Mysterio been doing the move he been doing for years. Bread and butter put food on the table for years. The 619. And the one time he hits it, somebody dies.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's fault, of course, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Man, that happened in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this dude, yeah. Rey been doing the 619 since day four forever. As putting food on the table, and all of a sudden, the one time something go wrong.
Oh yeah. I mean, that just goes to show, though, that I mean, you are literally putting your life in the hands of all these other people. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when you're definitely the smaller guys, and you're more dependent on doing all these fast moves, that to me is more dangerous because. You can only be as quick as you are, and if you just slip up 1 millisecond, you can royally hurt somebody, if not kill them.
Shoot, here's an example for you. Let's say you're doing a suplex, an old school delayed suplex. I pick you up, and I lose my grip, and you fall and break your neck. Not my fault, not your fault. It was kind of my fault, but like I didn't have a good grip on it. Not your fault. You the one receiving it, and you fall and break your neck.
Oh yeah, I mean I know some of the worst stuff that has happened in wrestling. Let's just take when Sid Vicious wrestled Scott Steiner at WCW. They asked Sid Vicious to come off the top rope and do the stomp on. Scott Steiner's chef, Sid Vicious, was like, well, can I do it off the second rope? And they said, nah, it'd be better if you come off the top rope. So he came off the top rope, and his left ankle literally shattered, and his foot was just hanging off to the left.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime something can happen, you can be going for a clothesline and hit somebody hard and crush their Adam's apple. You just don't know.
And of course, as the infamous Owen Hart tragedy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they practiced
that all day that day, and some idiot decided let's use a wire. Idiot. That's who you should be mad at. The guy that said, "Hey, let's use the wire," but you know.
Oh yeah. I know. They practiced that, according to what sources have said, they practiced that over 30 times that day.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up until a half hour before doors opened, they were practicing. And then the last minute, they changed the hookup, and that's what messed up.
Mm.
So, I mean, the guy who changed it, yeah, definitely should be blamed. But also, I will say, there's a lot of controversy going on with the WWE with that because they're like, you know, they still did the show. And, you know, I mean, WWE lives by the adage that, hey, the show must go on.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a lot of people took offense to that because you're like, you just lost one of your people. You know, you should end the show, blah, blah, blah. But the question is should they have ended it or should they have kept going?
I would say, like, end it, but hook somebody up. For example, and look, I'm going to give y'all some free stuff. We got to go. We got to reset this thing. we'll see y'all next tomorrow or something. But like, I can tell, that's still a call, man, because people pay to see the show, but at the same time, we had a serious incident, and we need to take care of it.
Now, not a lot of people know, WWE, everyone who was in the audience, and they had a sold-out house, everyone who was in the audience for that show got a free ticket for the next time WWE was going to be there. As a thank you of, you know, like, thanks for sticking with us and, you know, going through this with us and stuff like that. So every single person that was in that audience got a free ticket for the next time they come. You know, which I think that's cool, but on the same hand, I would have at least taken a half hour to an hour out of respect just for what happened and then went on with the show.
Interested.
You know, but they didn't. They got him out of the ring, got him in the back, and, you know, I mean, God rest his soul, because Owen Hart was one of the greatest wrestlers ever. But WWE was like, we need to rectify this quick. Just throw the next match on. Now, here's the funny thing. The match right after that was only supposed to go for 5 minutes, and that match wound up going for almost 25 minutes.
Wow.
And so, I mean, and then they also lengthened the time of the main event for that pay-per-view. So, I mean, it's like they had contingency plans for everything that goes on, but you don't really have one for anyone who passes away.
Yeah, thankfully, or not, well, I, by the way, I'm saying this in my head first before I say it out loud, but not thankfully, but Owen Hart died at the hospital, not at the arena. But yeah, like I can say, I wouldn't see, I wouldn't see my fans home empty-handed. Like, I'll give you something, and we're gonna have to stop the show. I'll give you a little something.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they used to if you send a copy of your phone bill, not phone bill, the pay-per-view bill, whatever it was. Phone bill, I guess? Is it phone bill or pay-per-view bill?
Yeah, cable bill. Pay-per-view bill. Yeah.
Yeah. You send a copy of your cable bill, which is for the pay-per-view. They'll send you something back in return. The whole point of that was to reimburse you for the pay-per-view. This is the time you buy the pay-per-view on, you order from your provider at the time. That's the whole point of doing that. That's why they wanted your phone bill. So you send them a copy of it, they'll reimburse you in the form of, not money, but in the form of items and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But see, here's the thing. So WWE's, a lot of people are like, they don't want to listen to the fans nowadays and lately, which is true. WWE doesn't really listen to the fans lately. But back in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, WWE was all about giving the fans what they wanted.
Yeah.
You know, but it got to a point to where WWE was like, well, we got to stop pandering to the fans and start pandering to our pockets, because we need to start getting paid more money.
I think that happened when we became publicly traded company. We went from listening to fans to listen to our shareholders.
Oh, yeah.
And people don't know shit. People don't know squat about wrestling. Gonna tell us what to do with our company.
Oh yeah, like the I know AEW's got Tony Khan, but I know we got our own Khan, like in WWE, and that dude, like, he's calling a lot of the shots right now. It's not sitting well with me, bro.
Yeah, man. Tell me he's not related to Tony Khan. Please tell me that.
I can't tell you that, because I'm not 100%.
Oh, he's been unrelated. Oh, by the way, Russ Stretch brought to you by Russ Talking to D. I'm sorry, I bet. I wish it was. I got my sponsors right. Russ Stretch brought to you by Back Delivery and More LLC. They put the D in delivery. 2871-225-87. If you have a CDL license, you can drive trucks. And you can get paid. Back Deliveries and More LLC. Backer Deliveries and More LLC. They put the D in delivery. And man, I'll tell you something here. First of all, I hope Tony Khan and Nick Khan are related. Secondly, like I said just a moment ago, we went wrong. Where we went wrong was years ago. We went from fans, listen to fans, start listening to our shareholders. We don't know squat about this business.
Oh yeah.
I'd rather a fan that's been a part of watch wrestling his whole life than to listen to a shareholder that don't know nothing.
Exactly.
At least the fan, he might be a fan, but he's seen this wrestling his whole life. He know what you're talking about a little bit.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's some people in WWE's corporate office that don't even know what a headlock is.
My God.
And that's kind of sad. You work for a wrestling company, but you don't even know the moves. And that's a basic move on top of that.
I watched Tough Enough, 2015 Tough Enough, something like that. Patrick Clark, at the time, he was the Rubber Team Dream. He said he had to argue with his other contestant, talking about how knowing your history is important, knowing your wrestling history is important. Like, no, you don't need to know that stuff. Well, doesn't it make sense to know something about the company you're working for?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Whether it's wrestling, whether it's football, whatever company you work for, it's smart to know who your employer is. Every now and then, you need to know something about who you're working for. So I agree with Level Team Dream. It is important to know your history because you need to know who you're working for.
Exactly. It's like if I'm working at Dairy Queen and I'm like, well, I want to quit here and go work for Baskin and Robin, and I don't know Baskin and Robin has 31 flavors.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
And so, I mean, I get your point. That's a very good point. You should know the history of everything you do. So then, if ever you have to talk about it or show up about it or something like that, you at least know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about.
There's some best corporate people in WWE who has never in their life seen the product ever. How do you work for one of the major wrestling companies in the world and you never seen nothing? That reminds you of old girl. Most of y'all bring your girlfriends to wrestling events when they watch wrestling in their life, and they ask all these. I remember one time I went to a wrestling event right here in Texas, it's here in Texas, we do all the time, Airline Arena.
Oh, okay.
Hang on, let me this up here, AA Arena, Lord have mercy, I go to all the time, I can't remember the name of it. It's been a long time. It's been a minute. Hang on a sec. American Airlines Arena. There you go. American Airlines Arena. I went over there. This dude brought his girl to a wrestling event. That's nice. She obviously hasn't watched wrestling in her life. And the whole doggone night, I had the unfortunate pleasure of them sitting behind me. And she asking questions the whole night. Why they doing this? What's going on here? Who's that? Why are they doing that? Blah, blah, blah. Girl.
Oh, yeah. That's like my wife. She knows who some of the wrestlers are, but most of the time she's like, what's going on? Who's this? Why is the story? And I'm like, you know what? You ain't an avid fan, so you might not want to understand it.
I dare you. First of all, watch something before you come over here. Before you bring your girl to the wrestling event, sit her down, catch her up to best you can. Watch this, and boom, you get familiar with it before you come over to the event.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know. But, I mean, you gotta look at it like this, though. The actual fan of wrestling, most people who go to a wrestling event that bring somebody who doesn't know about wrestling,
mm-hmm.
by the end of the night are feeling like total crap.
Oh, bruh.
Yeah, I've been there and done that.
I remember, like, wrestling is more male-dominated sport. So, you see grandpas bringing the grandkids, uncles and nephews, big brother, little brother. So, I was going to WrestleMania 30 with my dad. He was disabled. The time could go nowhere. So, I brought my mom. Mind you, my mom would give a crap about wrestling at all. I said this a while ago, if my mom had a choice between hugging a cactus and watching a wrestling event, she'd hug a cactus. My mom had the choice. Wrestling, go to a wrestling event with your son, you don't give a crap about wrestling in the first place, or hug a cactus, she gonna be hugging that cactus. Anyway, she did the best she could. She faked it to make it the best she could. The best she could. As she gave up, I remember WrestleMania 30, right after John Cena and Bray Wyatt, that's when she had enough. She could take it no more.
Oh, yeah.
And then we watched years later, WrestleMania 35, the longest WrestleMania ever. I started that thing at 5:30. We clocked out 11:02. Okay? My mom hung in there from 5:30. She went to sleep. She dozed off here and there, but she was out of it at 11:01, really.
Dang.
So if you're going to bring your mom to a wrestling event, be prepared for faking it to make it. She really not be anywhere else but here.
The funny thing is before my mom passed 12 years ago, my mom loved wrestling. Like, mm-hmm. she got me into it. Like, she took me to my very first wrestling match, which was Hulk Hogan versus The Missing Link at the State Fairgrounds here in Michigan.
Damn, you went old school.
Oh, yeah. and he wasn't even going by Hulk Hogan at the time. He was going by his real name, Terry Bolliola, or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the funny thing is, like, me and my mom, we used to watch wrestling all the time. We had pay-per-view parties where my mom was like, invite all your friends, we're gonna order pizza and we're gonna have fun. Okay, cool. You know, I mean, it was all the way up, bro, until like she got sick, and then it was like she couldn't really get into it no more. So
yes indeed, man. I remember as you go to the River Center in Baton Rouge, it was my favorite booth. They don't really care. I used to go all the way down there. Yeah, you gotta watch me at the time. I would go down there. Hey, hold on a second. Yeah, sorry about that. Something wrong with my phone here. So I would be in my seat. And next thing I know, next thing you know, you look over. I'm down on the front row. So you gotta watch me at the rest of the events. I'll be all over the place if they let me.
Oh, yeah.
But y'all, when you go to wrestling events, I implore you, use the seating chart, please. You can be sitting there comfortable, and next thing you know, hey man, you're my seat. Now this is my seat. Hey man, you're my seat. And starting to fight and all that crap. Use the seating chart. You good, use the seating chart.
Oh yeah, definitely. Also, try not to get an aisle seat. Because the people who fall up and down the stairs because they're so drunk, they might just bump into you.
Oh, yeah. I hate when I wish they did a street fight match when they came to Dallas. So every time they come to Dallas, they don't do a street fight. They be all in the crowds and everything. They don't do that here when they come to Dallas. Man, y'all lucky. Oh,
yeah. I remember it was a house show at Cobo Hall. Not Showboat Arena, but at Cobo Hall. It was a holiday tour, and this was a while back. Stone Cold wrestled against Billy Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
And the Road Dogg came out, China came out. Stone Cold was stunning them all, and it was a street fight. Mm. It was a holiday street fight, that's what they called it. And Stone Cold got the bowling ball out of the bag and did the old Al Snow and rolled it into Billy Gunn. Then China got in the ring and she got stunned, and then Billy Gunn, Road Dogg got stunned, and then Billy Gunn, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know what? Those matches are fun, but when you're seeing those non-televised events, some of those are some of the best events you will ever watch.
Sure. I was back at River Center when they did Kane's entrance music. The fire, when they do the fire pyro, is 10 times hotter than it is when you see on TV. I was all the way in the stands. I felt them flames.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the stands. I felt that. I'm like, ooh, wee.
Oh, yeah. Nah, the Survivor Series where The Undertaker came back after Randy Orton won the Survivor Series match for, I think it was Eric Bischoff or whoever.
Uh-huh.
And all the wrestlers were in the ring celebrating with Randy Orton. And then all of a sudden you hear the gong. Then they got the casket on the stage. And then it's lit on fire. The Undertaker knocks down the door and walks through the fire and everything. Man, that was such an adrenaline rush, because that heat from the fire. Now, we weren't too far from it. We were in a lower bowl, so we actually had, you know, like, really good seats.
Yeah.
And the heat from that was like, whoo, let me tell you.
I love it live, because the pyro is louder, the heat is hotter. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of live, ladies and gentlemen, WrestleMania comes to you live April 2nd, April 3rd. I will be at WrestleMania come hell or high water in one form or another. I want you to be there. Tickets are available now. And hopefully Stone Steve Austin will host it.
Yeah, I think he's going to. I don't think they're going to announce it until the Raw after the Royal Rumble, though.
Yeah.
But you never know. Stone Cold might be one of the surprise entrants, and he might, you know, like, main event WrestleMania.
He might. Just might.
Never know.
All the matches I'm looking forward to for years, as everyone else, Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar.
Alright, so I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate here for a minute. I look forward to the match, but I know the match is not going to live up to the hype, for the simple fact Roman Reigns will interfere, or someone else is going to interfere. That match is not going to be won fair and square. I can guarantee you that. And that's
going to
rob the fans of an actual good match.
That's, man. I've taken the history books, and I'm pretty sure these two have never met ever in 20 years of wrestling, whatever you want to call it, or any other sport. They've never had confrontation anywhere. I'm glad it's happened on WWE turf.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, the very first time they were ever in the same ring together was at that Fatal 5-Way.
Uh-huh.
And then this past week on Raw.
Yes, indeed. It took a long time. We finally here. Last time, we tried this last time, he doing that stupid Lana storyline. And Bobby Lashley, I need to dump this, get to Brock Lesnar. It took Bobby Lashley years to get to here. Bobby Lashley will take every advantage. Now, we all know deep down, we know behind the scenes who's supposed to win, who's supposed to lose. But as far as we're concerned, as far as the surprise goes, Bobby Lashley takes advantage of everything, every moment. You've been on this for years. Take advantage of this thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing. The match should be a 10-star match.
Yeah.
But because they're not going to put in as much into it as they want, I think it's going to fall short and it's going to be a 6-star match. What I would like to see happen is Bobby Lashley. I'll say it like this. I would like to see Brock Lesnar win. Then Seth Rollins win the title from Roman Reigns. Then take that title over to Raw. Brock take that title over to SmackDown. And then have Bobby Lashley somehow enforce himself into the main event of WrestleMania against Seth Rollins. Or go over to SmackDown and then have that triple threat match. I mean, that would be good.
That's possible, man. That's another match of the card I'm looking forward to. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins.
Well, you also gotta look at it like this. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins have wrestled so many times, so it's like this can't even be called a rubber match because they both have wins over each other. But I will say there's something different about this match this time, because you got both of them going into the match as heels. And to me that's what makes this match just a little bit different.
That reminds me how in the wrestling world, anything you have, either a big match, whatever happened before, it don't matter. For example, WrestleMania 3, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, they wrestled before, but this is a big match. Anything before that don't matter. Never happened.
Exactly. That's the good thing about wrestling, is like you can have 100 matches with the same people, but as long as you're making that match different every time, then you're living up to the expectation of the fan, and that's what I want. I want my expectations met. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Rumble should be good. By the way, across the street at AEW, when they're ready to do Revolution, if you don't have pay-per-view, you can watch it on Google. Go to google.com, type in watch wrestling, click on the first link, find a stream that works, and there you go. That's good for pay-per-view, it's good for boxing, it's pretty good.
When I watch the AEW stuff, I watch it with one of my friends because he orders all of them, and I'm like, I mean, I watch it because I'm a true wrestling fan, and I got to keep up with what's going on so I can continue doing all these shows. But I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I do enjoy the matches, but most of the time I'm just sitting there thinking, like, you know, I'm not really into this match. I mean, it's just the whole company itself is just kind of like rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I meant to start the show off properly. I'm sorry about that. Today's, I like to acknowledge a heavenly birthday today of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His holiday is Monday, and today's his birthday. So happy birthday to you in heaven. It'll be cool to see him one day.
Man had a dream, and that dream is still living on today. So that's one of the greatest things on earth.
Yes, sir. We're going to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Joshua Community Time, by the way. We got to have you on next time. And it's going to be pretty good. In the meantime, I get out of here. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Later.
Appreciate it, man.